I've lived in Bombay my entire life. This is my home. This is my life. And buildings like, you know, the Oberoi and the Taj Mahal Hotel, we've seen them since we were little kids growing up. This is like the heart of Bombay City. This is what Bombay is to us. And to see, you know, such reckless, disgusting incidents occurring is just heartbreaking.
One of 20 million people asking themselves what now in that city of Mumbai, India, where it appears a consensus is emerging among reports that we are seeing and security personnel are beginning to talk that we're in the end game here in Mumbai. The siege that was taking place at the Chabad Lubavitcher office in Mumbai, the Jewish center in Mumbai, appears to be over. That's according to at least two sources. The question really now is, as the final sort of explosions and fires are put out in Mumbai, what is next? Joining us now is Sudhanand Dume, who is the Asia Society Fellow in Washington and author of My Friend the Fanatic. It's a book about Islamic militants. He's speaking to us from Delhi. Sudhanand, thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be back.
And also Nazis Avros, who's the BBC South Asia editor, is joining us yesterday. And Nazis, you were really great in keeping us honest and away from the rumor and on top of things, speaking to us from London. Thanks for joining us again.
Thanks.
It does appear that some consensus is emerging that this is closer to the end than the beginning. It seems to me that the question now is, what does this mean for relations between India and Pakistan? Already some efforts have been taken on part of both governments to try to diffuse or clarify the situation. Nazis Afroz, what do you make of the situation right now?
Well, it's undoubtedly that there will be some pressure on Pakistan, particularly with the Indian foreign minister today naming Pakistan. When the Indian prime minister yesterday said that some elements from a foreign country, he did not mention Pakistan. But today, I think the Indian foreign minister, by naming Pakistan, has actually raised the ante. But at the same time, the Pakistani leadership, they are trying their best to allay the fear that Pakistan government, as a government level, they sanctioned any such thing. In the past, India also, of course, if we go back for a few years, and we will see that in the past, India used to say it was state-sponsored terrorism in Kashmir. Also, some attacks in Delhi, India said very categorically that it was the Pakistan government that authorized those attacks. But here, there is a subtle difference. There is a nuance that they're not saying that it was the Pakistan as a state, as a government, authorized it. They're saying some elements from Pakistan may have been involved or are involved. So there is that difference. And at the same time, we know for certain that since the election in Pakistan in February, there is a marked change in Pakistan, especially with the civilian leadership taking over. They are trying to dismantle and they are trying to revamp their the secret service, ISI. The political wing of the ISI is being disbanded. So all that they are trying to play up. At the same time, they have offered the Pakistan ISI chief even to come to India to share and to talk to the Indian authorities. So it is going to put some pressure undoubtedly, but at the same time, both sides, I think, they have progressed quite a bit in the last few years, especially there has been people-to-people contact, the track to diplomacy or the back-channel diplomacies, they're paying huge dividend for both the countries. So I don't think they will go to an extent where it's going to ruin the relations between these two countries.
Well, those relations are definitely going to be tested. Sudhanand Dume in New Delhi, what is the sense there in the capital of these overtures, insofar as we understand them at this point, from Pakistan to try to defuse the situation?
You know, the way this is going to play out is going to play out quite differently at two different levels. At the level of the policymakers and people who have been involved with the peace process between India and Pakistan, there has been a concerted effort to, if you will, bulletproof it and make it impervious to these kinds of attacks by what may very well be militants acting on their own volition. But the difference really is that because of the scale of the attack and because of the audacity of the attack, the way this plays out with the public is going to be profoundly different from previous attacks. And also because this comes on the heels of many other attacks across India. So the question is that, you know, wearing a policy hat, the Indians may well want to minimize the impact on the relationship. But wearing your political hat I can't see how that's possible.
Well, an election campaign is underway or is about to get underway there in India. I'm wondering if the temptation is to go the militant route or the sort of hard-line route in the rhetoric, and that the government will be drawn towards that, or if there is a sense that maybe conciliation can be the theme of this election going forward. Sudhanand?
Well, you see, it's at this moment, you know, given the enormity of this attack, it's hard to sell that to the public. It's not hard to sell that to an intellectual class. It's not hard to sell that to people who recognize some of the subtleties of what is going on in Pakistan right now. But I think that in any country on the planet, frankly, just imagine for a moment that this were happening in New York. Imagine for a moment that terrorists had taken over the Waldorf Astoria. And imagine that they'd sort of people had been shot in Times Square. And it turns out that the terrorists, you know, are from, say, you know, Iran. And it turns out that it's very hard under these circumstances for a democratic leadership in any country in the world, not just in India, to argue that restraint ought to be the flavor of the moment.
Although Sudhanand, although it's an interesting point that you raise. I mean, it raises the question of why was this targeted at what appears to be the most affluent intellectual sort of center of India, Nazis Afros. Is it possible that, you know, if this attack had taken place in Madras or in Calcutta or even in Delhi, that it would be a much different sort of populist kind of reaction? What do you make of what Sudhanand is saying?
Of course, I mean, any attack on Mumbai, which is the financial hub of India, all these big hotels, the five-star hotels, Taj Mahal Hotel, which is frequented by the top echelons of business community in Mumbai. So definitely the attacks, the plan to attack Mumbai and these places, it was done with a desire to make the biggest impact. There is no doubt about it.
You raised something, Nazis, that I want to get both of your reaction to and maybe clarify. Do you think it's conceivable that this group is acting as a result of the civilian leadership in Pakistan attempting to take control of the ISI and the security forces? And this is a rogue operation that may be the result of political reform going on in Pakistan, a kind of a desperate Hail Mary play to set things back in Islamabad?
Well, I really wouldn't like to speculate on that.
Yeah, you never do. You never.
Yeah,
do.
We wouldn't like to speculate, and we should not speculate
right.
on that. And also, one thing I must say that we still do not have the facts. The operations are still going on. Yes, we know the police are claiming that 8 or 9 people have been taken into custody. It has never happened before with all the previous attacks in India recently in last 2-3 years. We really, I mean, police did arrest some people after things have happened. But also there had been huge skepticism about the authenticities of what the police said even. So for the time being, let's give the benefit of doubt to the police that, okay, they have arrested the right people. And if they can come up with solid body of evidence. So this is what we know, that these people, they came
right.
from Pakistan or from country, then people will believe. But at the same time, I think that the greater danger right now is also we know it in India, it has happened before, that there is this fault line between the Hindus and the Muslims, whether that fault line is going to really widen or not. And there's a big
right.
concern there as well.
That's
it's
question.
Not only about that, also there had been doubts about whether all these attacks that have happened in the last 2 or 3 years, whether they were done with a particular motive to widen this fault line and to create a huge sort of violence, a cycle of violence.
Well, it's a
that
good point.
India
let me get
yeah.
the last word from Sudhanand yeah. Dume in Delhi. Are these people in custody likely to become show trials that will exacerbate religious tensions inside of India, Sudhanand? We just have a few seconds.
Well, you know, if they're Pakistani, I think the great care will be taken to distinguish between terrorists coming from outside the country and Indian nationals of whatever faith. So that really depends on whether they're Pakistanis or Indian Muslims. If they turn out to be Pakistanis, as appears likely, I think India has enough finesse to sort of not turn this into a Hindu-Muslim issue.
Well,
if, on the other hand, they turn out to be Indian Muslims, it would be a different matter.
Well, definitely something to watch. Sudhanand Dume, Asia Society Fellow in Washington, speaking to us from Delhi, and Nazis Afros, BBC South Asia editor, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. After this that has happened in Bombay, that little tourist that did come to Bombay, the expats that are in Bombay, they will always have a fear to come to a place which is so open, which is so lively, which is so welcoming.